The University of Michigan hospitals and health centers have recently had hundreds of people needing emergency treatment for the flu. MLive reporter Amy Biacchini reported that some patients wound up on life support with H1N1, which reached pandemic levels back in 2009. Most had not been vaccinated, and some had been transferred to Ann Arbor from other parts of Michigan, along with Ohio and Indiana, by the way. Joining us to bring us up to speed on H1N1 here in Michigan is MSU University physician Dr. Beth Alexander. Welcome to Current State.
Good morning.
H1N1 can cause respiratory failure, kidney failure, and septic shock. Why is H1N1 so much more dangerous than other flu strains?
Well, I think you have to take the wider context, which is how the country and the states collect reporting data. And the data that we have at any one point in time, particularly early in the flu season, is collected from 11 hospitals throughout the state, and it doesn't give us the entire picture. So far, University of Michigan has had a disproportionate number of seriously ill people from H1N1 because they have equipment and technology that most hospitals do not have that help very critically ill patients survive.
So the worst cases go there, and we're learning about them.
Correct.
Okay.
There are other cases, and now at least 130 or 140 hospitalizations, although the data are usually about 2 weeks behind because of the collection process, the holidays, the recent weather challenges we've had. But generally, they're at least a week behind.
And how many of these people who are in serious condition with H1N1 is the prognosis good for them generally, or is it more dire than that?
When people get any strain of flu, but particularly H1N1, there are those who can benefit from the antiviral medication early in the course of the disease, and then having access to adequate life support, cutting technology, life support, caregivers, and equipment will increase the chance of survival. The ones who get critically ill are generally, in any flu season, people who have some other weaknesses or impairment, lung disease or cardiovascular disease, or smokers, mm-hmm. or very young children are also susceptible. H1N1 does appear to be a bit more aggressive than some, and it's affecting a younger age group than typically we see with flu.
Are people who got flu shots protected from H1N1?
Most of the flu shots this year included H1N1. If people got their flu shot and aren't sure, they can ask their providers whether they got the one that included H1N1, but almost all of them included that. And many people were vaccinated in 2009 also, when the H1N1 epidemic occurred.
And that would still provide some protection,
yes.
5 years later?
Yes.
The H1N1 outbreak in 09 was described as a pandemic. Can you briefly remind our listeners what a pandemic is?
A pandemic is a infectious disease that affects the entire globe, whereas epidemics are more localized.
Okay. And why did cases of H1N1 decline between then and this current outbreak? Why might these numbers be up now? Is it related to vaccination rates, or are there other factors?
Well, certainly it relates to vaccination rates, because the very most important thing people can do is become vaccinated every year with the current flu vaccines. And the people who monitor flu viruses all over the world make the best predictions they can about what strains need to be included in the vaccines. This year it appears they guessed it correctly, because the vast majority of flu that we're seeing so far in the season is H1N1.
Are you seeing a lot in East Lansing or the Lansing area?
Some. Not excessive numbers of hospitalizations, but lots of ER visits and urgent care visits and primary care visits, mm-hmm. For people who have respiratory illness.
You alluded earlier to some of the treatment that people can get is treating H1N1 earlier as opposed to later an important factor in getting through it?
For some people, yes. There are specific recommendations about who should be treated early in the course of a flu illness that are put out by the CDC, which is our best resource for public health, and it's a guidance to physicians about who ought to be considered for early treatment. And it's a fairly large group of people. It's people with compromised immune systems, the extreme elderly, very young children, people with any kind of pulmonary disease, people on chemotherapy or immunosuppressant drugs. Those groups, it's recommended that they be treated early.
How concerned are you about an H1N1 outbreak on the Michigan State campus?
Well, I'm concerned enough that we've pushed hard to educate people and encourage them to be vaccinated, because that's really the most important thing people can do. And in addition, the usual preventive things for respiratory viruses, which are good hand washing, taking care of your general health through diet and exercise and so forth.
So it's not too late to get a flu shot.
It is not. The flu shot becomes fully effective about 2 weeks after one gets it, but it's not too late. We're early in the flu season. It's just starting to really rise. So although the news has illustrated the somewhat dramatic cases in eastern Michigan, there will be more. Mm. And most of the people who are affected have been people who were not vaccinated.
Is H1N1 especially contagious?
No more so than other flu viruses.
Okay. And how long is a patient contagious who has the flu virus?
Well, that's a little hard for me to precisely quantify, but it's generally as long as you're coughing, sneezing, have fever, and are ill, one should consider themselves contagious. But the diagnosis of flu is a specific diagnosis, and many people with flu-like symptoms may not know whether they actually have the flu or some other respiratory virus.
Mm. We're talking with MSU University physician Dr. Beth Alexander about H1N1, and specifically about the number of cases here that have shot up in the state of Michigan. Can you tell us more about the treatment that might be necessary for a patient with H1N1? How are they treated?
First, it's symptomatic, which is ibuprofen or aspirin or Tylenol to take care of the aches and fever, and then rest and lots of fluids. And for generally healthy people, that's the treatment that's recommended. For the groups that have other underlying illness, there are a couple of specific antiviral drugs, and people may remember the trade name of Tamiflu. There are two drugs in that category that for certain people with certain illnesses, they are recommended as early as possible when we believe they have a influenza illness.
Are the symptoms of H1N1, they're similar to just about any number of different kinds of flu then?
Correct.
Okay. Now, the BBC had reported that the first H5N1 bird flu death in North America, a resident of Alberta, Canada, who had recently traveled to Beijing. Is there any chance that you're aware of H5N1 striking Michigan?
Right. That case was just identified in Alberta, and the thinking about it is that the patient contracted the disease when they were traveling in China, where the disease among animals, particularly birds, is endemic in some areas of China. And the patient actually contracted the virus there. Right now, that virus, H5N1, which is particularly serious, does not appear to be transmissible between people for the most part. So I don't think there's, at this point, a lot of reason for being concerned about that, other than for the welfare of the person who got ill.
Very good. Well, this has been very enlightening. We appreciate your time. MSU University physician Dr. Beth Alexander, thank you.
Thank you.